today's class will be given by His Grace Chakravarti Prabhuji on Srimad Bhagavatam, verse 4.11.29 onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, you are there on the call.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you Prabhuji for giving your valuable association and giving your time in this conference, Bhakti Sangha conference call. We are very fortunate to have you on this call regularly, Prabhuji. Please take over, Prabhuji. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So we are discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 11. Chapter entitled, Swayambhuva Manu Advises Dhruva Maharaj to Stop Fighting. Verse number 29. So I'll just recite the verse, then move on to translation and purport.
Tamena mangatmani mukta vigrahe vyapashritam nirgunam ekam aksharam atmanam anvichcha vimuktam atmadre yasmin idam vedam asat pratiyate.
Translation. My dear Dhruva, please therefore turn your attention to the Supreme Person, who is the infallible Brahman. Face the Supreme Personality of Godhead in your original position, and thus by self-realization you will find this material differentiation to be merely flickering. Purport. The living entities have three kinds of vision according to their position in self-realization. According to the bodily concept of life, one sees differentiation in terms of varieties of body. The living entity actually passes through many varieties of material forms, but despite all such changes of body, he is eternal. When living entities therefore are viewed in the bodily concept of life, one appears to be different from another. Lord Manu wanted to change the vision of Dhruva Maharaj, who was looking upon the Yakshas as different from him or his enemies. Factually, no one is an enemy or a friend. Everyone is passing through different types of bodies under the law of karma. But as soon as one is situated in his spiritual identity, he does not see differentiation in terms of this law. In other words, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 18.54, Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atma Na Shochati Na Kankshati Samaha Sarvesh Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. A devotee who is already liberated does not see differentiation in terms of the outward body. He sees all living entities as spirit souls, eternal servants of the Lord. Dhruva Maharaj was advised by Lord Manu to see with that vision. He was specifically advised to do so because he was a great devotee and should not have looked upon other living entities with ordinary vision. Indirectly, Manu pointed out to Dhruva Maharaj that out of material affection, Dhruva thought his brother as his kin and the Yaksha as his enemies. Such observation of differentiation subsides as soon as one is situated in his original position as an eternal servant of the Lord. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Nena Tasmay Shri Gurave Nama. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunadambitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam
Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakha Amritamcha Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimade Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharire Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyate Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gaurakishe Namaha हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते तप्तांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिय वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे माय डियर ध्रुवा प्लीज देयरफॉर टर्न योर अटेंशन टू द सुप्रीम पर्सन हु इज द इनफैलिबल ब्राह्मण Face the Supreme Personality of Godhead in your original position and thus by self-realization you will find this material differentiation to be merely flickering. So, this section, I think last Monday I took the class and same section is going where Dhruva Maharaj was angry because his brother was killed by one of the Yaksha. And Swayambhuva Manu, he comes here. So we can understand, Swayambhuva Manu means first Manu. This is not even of this Satyuga. This is the first Manu. Many Satyugas have passed. This is the history of the origin. When first Manu was ruling. So Swayambhuva Manu comes here and tries to explain in the previous verse which was discussed yesterday. He says that you were only 5 years old when you started your meditation on the Supreme Lord. And within 6 months, you pleased the Supreme Lord so much that he was standing in front of you. That means you have already done that. It's not difficult. And Manu Maharaj is very proud of Dhruva for this achievement. And now he's saying that you can again do it. So when you were afflicted by your stepmother, you left the association and shelter of your father and mother and went alone to the forest to seek out the Supreme Lord. And you were successful in that process. And now when you are afflicted, why you are taking revenge? You should again do the same process. This is very interesting. When Dhruva was 5 years old, he was afflicted. He didn't do anything. He went to Supreme Lord. And now he has grown up. When he is afflicted, he should have gone to Supreme Lord. Anyway, there's a reason why he came. And now after this Yaksha, Dhruva will surrender himself to Yaksha, the king of Yaksha, Kuvera. And Kuvera will bless him. But here he's saying, Manu is saying that if you can do it before, why can't you do it now? Very interesting lesson. A small child, 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old, he gets afflicted because of some reason. There are many things which happen in small kids' life. and for every reason they just look up to some shelter, because they know that they cannot do anything. So they turn to their parents, mother and father, or someone, grandparents or whatever, someone senior, they will turn up to, because they know that they cannot do anything, they are helpless. Which Dhruva did. At 5 years of age, what he can do. And when the small kid turns towards parents, the parents will say, no, no, don't worry, just pray. A devotee's parent, they will say, depend on prayer to Krishna, and Krishna will take care, everything will be all right. But when parents themselves are afflicted, they don't turn to Krishna. That time, because of our own some achievements in life, some strength, some money, some relatives, the age, the experience, and so many soldiers we have, and the king of all soldiers, Paul Sego, who is the commander-in-chief. He dictates that why you need to surrender. I am there. And we have so many soldiers and ministers. You know, like money. Someone has money. So if there is a problem, he thinks that I can settle the issues with money. Then we have experience. Someone will say, oh, I am already experienced. Then someone will say, I have my family with me, my friends with me, my boss, government, parents. Now he is grown up. That's why Prahlad Maharaj says, all these are false soldiers. Because actually no one can protect us. It's a trick of the mind which forces us to think that we can do something. We don't need to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. Sometimes we may just chant or take name of Krishna, Gauranga, as a formality. But we really don't take shelter. Try to do something. Which is okay. Sometimes externally doing the duty, like Vasudev, he saved Devaki. Arjuna fought. But then Arjuna was told to fight after remembering Krishna. Mam anusmarana yuddhacha. Krishna told to Arjuna, you remember me and then fight. When Arjuna saw that Ashwatthama released this Brahmastra, which you read in first canto, 7th chapter, that time Arjuna was fearful and immediately takes shelter of Krishna, and Krishna explains that Droni, the son of Dronacharya, has released this Brahmastra and he does not know how to take it back. So you also release Brahmastra, combine both and then retract. So that's what Arjuna did. So the duty we have to do, our actions. But within the heart of the heart, Krishna wants to see whether we have taken shelter or not. And that is known to that jiva and is known to Krishna. Externally, others may not know, because suppose if I am in some trouble, I will tell others that, you know, let's see, Krishna will take care. Let us depend on Krishna. But how much I am dependent on Krishna, is it just a lip service I am doing as a formality? Or really, I have taken shelter within my heart. I have taken shelter of lotus feet of Guru and Gauranga. That's the meaning of Krishna consciousness. What is inside? So here, Swayambhu Manu is telling Dhruva that you turn to Supreme Lord in your original position. What is the original position? Jivara Swarupa Hai Krishna Re Nitya Das. The original constitutional position of every living entity is that he is eternally servant of Krishna. Eternally. Mame Vamsha Jiva Loka Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. Eternally. He is servant of Krishna. If he come to that position, then he will not see someone as friend or someone as enemy. But this is material. This is the only external bodily platform. If someone is enemy and someone is friend. But unfortunately our entire life is based on that. Friends and enemies. That's why Prahlad Maharaj, when he was taught by his guru, Shandana Amarka, so he was taught now to differentiate between friends and enemies. But he said, no, everyone is part and parcel of Krishna. He was not interested in learning this politics. So that's what here he is saying, Swayambhu Manu ki Dhruva. What will happen with that? Prabhupada writes in the purport, Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atma na Shochati na Kankshati. That entity, that devotee who sees himself eternally connected to Krishna and everyone eternally connected to Krishna, he becomes Brahma Bhuta. And because he is Brahma Bhuta, he becomes Prasannatma. He is joyful, blissful. Na shochati na kankshati. There is no hankering and no lamentation. Very, very refined stage of consciousness. Samah sarveshu bhuteshu. He sees every samah sarveshu, all living entity. Sarveshu bhuteshu, all living entities, samah as equal. And in 5th chapter also Bhagavad Gita says, Pandita asamah darshina. Mad bhaktim labhate para. This kind of person is a devotee. So it's a very, as I said, refined and advanced stage of consciousness to come to that level. But only when we come to this level, we can actually become devotees. And we will become ninda shunyam. Because everyone will see as part and parcel of Krishna connected to us, will not criticize anyone. And the prominent feature of an advanced devotee is that he doesn't criticize any other person. He may correct other person, he may chastise other person, he may give direction, but he will not criticize. Like Prabhupada used to chastise his disciples, but he never criticized. There was an element of compassion in the heart of Srila Prabhupada with which he corrected his disciples. And he could see the Prabhupada was, how he was Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atma. Whatever he did for Krishna and the mission. For himself, he was was completely satisfied, not bothered at all. But for the mission, for himself, he can just sit under a tree and chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Whatever he fought, whatever he did, he expanded, is for all of us. He built this ISKCON so that living entities like us will come and take shelter of devotees and Krishna in future. And his struggle was that. His struggle was actually for us. He was happy. Dhruva is told to see the Yakshas and his brother. The brother was killed by Yakshas. So it's very natural that a person with a material vision will see brother as a friend and the killer as enemy. So here he is told not to have that vision, but to have the vision where the killer has killed the brother. It is all arrangement of Krishna. Because he is sarva-karan-karanam. When Prahlad Maharaj, he saw Lord Narsingha killed his own father. Prahlad Maharaj came with a garland. Prabhupada says, Prahlad Maharaj came with a garland. Oh, killer of my father. He is giving him garland. He is not seeing Lord Narsingha as enemy because he killed his father. Because he knew his father is anyway part and parcel of Lord, as Lord who has killed him. So this kind of understanding, if we can gradually start developing with the understanding that Krishna is the only one who is giving shelter to everyone. Nityo Nityanam Chetana Chetananam. This verse talks about Nityo Nityanam. There is one eternal and there are many eternals. There is one conscious being and many conscious beings. But the difference is that one eternal and one conscious being is giving shelter to all others who are eternal. Everyone is eternal, but one eternal is giving shelter to all the eternals, and that one eternal is Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna. So that is called broadening the vision. If we can develop that vision by purifying our heart, by reading philosophy, understanding the philosophy, then there will be no enemy, no friend for us. Everyone will be same. And that time we will become Brahma-bhuta. And in the next verse, I just read the translation because I thought we will take more questions and answers, rather than just me speaking, because there are times that many questions come. So I'll read the translation for next, the 30th verse. Thus regaining your natural position and rendering. Regaining your natural position, that means remember that you are eternal servant of Krishna. And rendering service unto Supreme Lord. If you are a servant, then you render service. Who is all-powerful reservoir of all pleasure and who lives in all living entities, super soul, you will very soon forget the illusory understanding of I and my. Very nice words. Every word has been explained here, that regain your natural position, which is eternal servant of Krishna, and then do what? Serve Krishna. Who is Krishna? Krishna is all powerful and reservoir of all pleasure. Rasaraj. Why saying that reservoir of all pleasure? Because right now Dhruva is afflicted with anger. Dhruva is angry. And anger means no pleasure. There is no one who will take pleasure in anger. If there is anger, that means there is no pleasure. So he is saying, you want happiness, you want pleasure, Dhruva, you want to go beyond this anger, take shelter of Krishna, who is reservoir of unlimited pleasure. If we are in the summer season, in the month of, okay, let us take winter season only. You all are experiencing a lot of winter in US. Unfortunately, I came to Bombay, relieved from North India. So, there's winter. So, everything is freezing cold. Even you touch anything, it's cold. It's like ice. Everything has become cold. So, obviously, it is not a pleasurable situation. It's a misery kind of. But then you go near fire, or you have a room heater, or you wear a jacket which is warm. Immediately you feel the pleasure. When you go near fire, you feel the pleasure. So Dhruva is angry. He is guided towards Supreme Lord, who is reservoir of all pleasure. As soon as Dhruva will come in touch with Supreme Lord again, by meditating on him, by remembering that I am eternal servant of Krishna, he'll immediately become pleasure. He'll be filled with pleasure because he is in touch with the factory of pleasure. And then he says, this Supreme Lord lives in all living entities as super soul. He is Paramatma. So whom you are killing, Krishna is present within them also. So if I am becoming angry on someone, Krishna is present in that person also. Now anger is required. It is not that you don't become angry. But here, Swayambhu Manu is saying you are becoming too much angry, which is not required. And when you realize that, the people you are killing, Krishna also resides in their body as Paramatma, you will soon forget this illusion of me and mine, I and my friend and enemy. This illusion will go away. It's a very interesting understanding. Very nice words, these two, that how systematically he says, you are afflicted with some misery, go to the place where there is pleasure. Just by killing yakshas, you may not be relieved of the miseries. Because killing yaksha will not give you pleasure. Yes, to a certain extent, it may reduce your anger. Maybe. We killed almost a lakh, more than a lakh, more than 100,000 soldiers. But his anger was not subsided. But it may subside. Okay, after killing, it may subside. But still you will not get pleasure. Because you are not in touch with the all pleasure. You are not in touch with the real substance. You are not in touch with the Supreme Lord. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, one who chants, Anandam Buddhivardhanam. Anand or the bliss will increase, keep on increasing. Because we are chanting, we are in touch with the Supreme Lord. So we tell this to small kids or even to other devotees who is afflicted. It's very easy to say that Prabhu or Mataji, please chant, read, hear, associate, serve. And all your miseries will turn into pleasure, in happiness and bliss. Now we have to introspect and see, even if it's for me, when I'm afflicted with some misery, what do I do? Do I take shelter of Krishna? We have to do, certainly we have to do something. Like today one of our devotees met an accident. So he hurt his knee and elbow. So definitely we cannot just say that Prabhu just take shelter of Krishna, chant holy name. What if, even if you leave body, no problem, ante Narayana Smriti. He don't do that. So we take him to doctor, we give him treatment. That's as a duty. Recently I was talking to some students. I said, yes, you should study. Because one student asked me, Prabhuji, so whether I study or not, result is same. I said, yes. Because it's material. Everything material is fixed. He said, what if I don't study at all? I said, that means you're not doing your duty. You study, but don't study with this. Now, if you have complete faith on Bhagavad Gita, you don't have to study. You just go and write exam. And you will see marks will come. And just attend college. It's the faith. It depends on the faith, the medicine will work. So one devotee asked me, he said, what if I will not write anything in the exam? Will I still get the marks? I said, that is not what Bhagavad Gita is teaching. Bhagavad Gita is saying you do your duty, don't get attached to the result. Or another thing, you perform your duty, but don't think because you have done the duty, that's why the result has come. Don't think because I have studied for hours and hours and hours, that is why I got good marks. No, that marks is karma. What you have done is your duty. But if someone does material duty, leaving spiritual duty, sacrificing on spiritual duty, doing only material duty, he will, what he will achieve? Because anyway, material result was sick, so he had actually wasted his life. In so many places it is said in Bhagavatam that he is a killer of his own soul. Now one may go to other extreme, leaving all the material duties, take only spiritual duty. That's possible. Depends on the faith. But if you don't have so much faith, okay, then balance. Do whatever minimum is required in material terms. With this understanding that ultimately, even if I do service or material duty, even if I perform material duty, the result will be given by Krishna, and which is already fixed. I am not the doer. This is Bhagavad Gita teaches. I am not the doer. Arjuna only shot arrows. Who killed Karna? Who killed Bhishma? It was Krishna. And that's Krishna. When Krishna showed this Virat Rupa, the universal form to Arjuna, he showed him how all the Kauravas and their army and even the armies of Pandavas are entering in the mouths, different mouths of Krishna. That means they are already killed. What Arjuna has to do is only his duty. So if someone does his own duty and thinks that, okay, I have done my part, now let Krishna do his own part, then also he'll be blissful because he's not attached. He's not attached. One is not attached, he is called liberated. So then he will become Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma, na shochati na kankshati. He will have no hankering for the result. And if the result is not coming favorable, he will not lament. That's where we get stuck. When the result comes favorable, we become overly happy and we think that we have done that. And the result is unfavorable. We go deep down in pain and agony. Because still we are thinking we are the doers. So if you go out on a project and you start some project and project fails, you don't have to, obviously we should feel bad that, you know, I could not serve Prabhupada, but if you have honestly put your effort, whatever result came. And if the project is success, we should be grateful to Prabhupada and Krishna, because of whom the project is successful. So Dhruva is told by Swayambhu Manu that don't see them as the doer. They have not killed your brother. Obviously, your brother has been killed by his own karma, which has been decided by the Supreme Lord and your brother's past activity. Nothing to do with yakshas. They would have only released weapon. And apparently you think that they have been killed, your brother has been killed by yakshas, and you came to retaliate. He is not the doer. That's what being taught. So I think I'll stop here and I will take more questions. Because many times we don't have time for question and answers. So we have some 25 minutes left. Let us see if questions are coming.
Prabhuji, for such a beautiful class and very nice example about, like, when we have a problems, are we looking at Krishna? That's really very nice, Prabhuji, you are talking. And then the example of the child that you gave, when very small child, if there is no option for him, the parents are the option. That example was also very nice, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, is there anybody having any more questions or comments by Prabhuji?
I thought there were more questions, so I'll next.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Oh. Sorry, Mataji, go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, you have explained very nicely and also gave the direction how we can depend on Krishna and Guru. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Prabhu, the class was wonderful, Prabhu. Yep. Yeah, Prabhu, So, the same, right? Yadru Maharaj's brother got killed because of his karma, right? So, the same way, why we cannot take that? Suppose Dhru Maharaj has to take the revenge of them so that they may be killed. It could be because of that. Because of their karma, and then how we can analyze that? If suppose other people ask this question, right? And then how we can answer them?
Yeah, so that's what I said, that you will read in the next chapter that Yaksha, the king, the Kuvera will tell Dhruva that what you did is okay, is all their karma. The Yakshas are killed, I'm not angry. These Yakshas are also killed by their own karma. So there are many teachings from something. So yakshas also who were killed, that was karma. But we should not think that, oh, I am the karma giver, I am the phala giver. Like if you will become angry on some devotee and then he will go and complain and then the authority will come to you, Prabhu, why did you chastise this devotee? Prabhu, I didn't do anything. I am not sarva karana karanam. His karma was there. He was destined to get chastised. And I just became an instrument. Then we'll get into where is in Vaishnava Parada. We should not think like that. Other person can take it, but we should not think like that.
Is it okay, Prabhuji?
Yes, Prabhu. Thank you.
Otherwise, you know, left, right, center, we will go and kill people and then say that it is their karma. If any devotee does mistake, who are we to, you know, rectify? Rectify, okay, some correction you can give, but rectification, becoming so angry, unnecessarily chastising devotees and saying, okay, it was their destiny to get chastisement. Maybe their destiny. But then if you have this attitude or anyone has this attitude, then he is taking the role of Krishna. That will be very dangerous for our own bhakti.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanat Pranamal, glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. How Prabhu the Guru Maharaj could not realize? Because even sometime, what happens when we are practicing devotional service, how we can understand we are serving Maya or Krishna? Because sometimes it's very bewildering, Prabhu.
Mataji, can you please repeat?
Means how Dhruva Maharaj could not realize the things, Prabhu. Means Prabhupada was telling in the purport as he was explaining about the Maya. That same thing happened to us also. Sometimes we don't realize we are serving Krishna or Maya, because even though in the devotional service.
Yeah, see, this is not that Dhruva was serving Maya. It is for our, we should never see that. Like Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj never fell down from his position. Prabhupada is right. It is Krishna's arrangement for us to learn. So here Dhruva is teaching. Krishna is teaching us, taking an example of Dhruva. But how we know whether we are serving Maya or Krishna? That's why we have to regularly purify our intelligence, sharpen our intelligence by reading, by understanding philosophy. If someone is reading Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam daily, his intelligence will become sharp, and that devotee will be able to realize whether I am serving Krishna or Maya. Or now, see, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is not just some alphabets. It is not some dead words like material books. It is a spiritual book, and Krishna and all the Acharyas and Srila Prabhupada is actually speaking with us. They are talking to us. They are telling us what we need to do and whether we are doing right or wrong, whether we are going proceeding in the proper direction or we are going backward in bhakti. So you will see that when you read Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada will tell you personally, and it is for every devotee personal from Prabhupada. Prabhupada will tell you whether you are right or wrong. So there are two types of guru. Internally, Krishna as Paramatma will tell you, but if you don't listen, then outside living gurus we have. We have gurus, we have Shiksha gurus, we have senior devotees, we have books, we have lectures. Somewhere or the other, if any devotee is going wrong, Krishna will arrange to send a message either by some WhatsApp forward message, or you read Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, you hear some lecture, you discuss with some devotee, somehow or the other Krishna will send someone. That is the protection of Krishna. You remember last week we were talking, Dharmo Rakshati Rakshatar. If you are sincerely trying to practice Krishna consciousness, but because of our own anartha and own sinful tendencies, we may divert to another direction, Krishna will keep giving us messages, for unlimited time. And if sometime we are not listening to those messages, Krishna may actually punish us. And that punishment will be like a father or a mother punishing a small child. It's very much possible that Krishna will punish us. But before that, Krishna will send so many messages. Like you see, one devotee, he was telling that there are four symbols Krishna carries: Shankha, Chakra, Gada and Padma. So, Kangshal and Lotus is for devotees, Prabhupada says. And Gada and Chakra is for non-devotees. So,
So one devotee was saying, when a devotee goes wrong, when a sadhaka is going on a wrong path, Krishna will blow the conch shell. He will say, you know, be alert, be alert. You're going on the wrong path. If we still don't listen, then Krishna will bang on our head his club. If we still don't listen, then he'll chop off our head with the chakra. And when we listen to him, he'll give us Padma. This is not scriptural. I'm saying how, you know, Krishna will give us warning again and again. Some message will come. If you are doing wrong, you are not able to read your own inner consciousness, Paramatma's voice, then you will see some message or something will come where Krishna will tell. And then you will realize, oh, maybe I am going wrong. But if someone is determined to pursue the path which is wrong, then Krishna will do something for that devotee to protect. So we don't have to worry about that. Krishna will actually, we have to just catch the messages which Krishna is sending. We have to just catch the messages. And you'll realize that messages are coming. Is it okay, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhu. Prabhuji, you were telling in before Prabhuji's class, questions, means we should not, sometime when we do mistake and then we said maybe that is karma, that devotee is going to suffer. We should not think that way. How we should think, Prabhu?
No, I was saying, suppose you become angry on some devotee. So you should not say, this is that devotee's karma and my anger is only an instrument. That is not good consciousness. We are here to serve devotees, not to become angry on them. If you become angry on them, but you feel guilty and you say sorry, that's different. And when someone becomes angry on you, you can just accept, oh, it is my karma. I should have got more chastisement, but somehow devotees are merciful and they are giving me less chastisement. But you should never think that if I have become angry on another person, that means it is his karma. That's dangerous. Am I clear? What is it okay what I'm saying?
Yes, yes, yes. I got the point now. Yes. Thank you, Prabhu.
Any other question?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanvat Pranam. All blessed to Srila Prabhupada. All blessed to Guru Maharaj. Prabhuji, with respect to this karma, what we were talking about, when we say that there is any reaction happening, we say, okay, it is karma. So how do we understand that after coming into Krishna consciousness, the prarabdha will not change, right? Like, we will have to go through what we have done. So how does it affect a devotee? Like, what does happen? Because this helps in preaching also. So I just wanted some explanation over that, Prabhuji.
Prabhupada says that Krishna reduces the effect, but he doesn't vanishes everything. So if a devotee is doing something wrong in material world, he has to accept the suffering. Krishna has created this material world and there are some material laws of material nature. Whether a devotee or non-devotee, if they break the laws, they'll be punished. Punishment is there. We have to accept the karma. Like if you waste some non-devotee, he will waste the food. So then he has to accept karma that one day his stomach will be upset and he will not be able to eat the food. If a devotee wastes food, he is wasting prasad, he will also have to accept karma. If you waste little bit today, 10%, and tomorrow 10%, and in 1 month you have wasted like 100% of the plate, that means one plate. So one day will come when your mind will be upset, your stomach will be upset, or you will not be able to eat, and prasadam is there, still you are not able to eat. That is karma. That is the reaction. If you waste water, it will come back as a karma. So whether devotee or non-devotee, they should not play with the material laws. I mean, if the prime minister or the president of the country, if he kills someone, he murders someone, he has to take punishment. He cannot say, I am the king. So whether devotee or non-devotee, punishment will come. So we have to very, rather if you read the sixth canto, Yamdutas are telling to Vishnu Duta that Ajamil should be punished more than ordinary person. Why? Because Ajamil has done sinful activities, even though he is a Brahmin, he has knowledge. If someone who has no knowledge, a Shudra, a Vaishya, someone does this sinful activity, they'll get less punishment. Brahmana, he should get more punishment. So if devotee breaking the law of Krishna, he should get more punishment. But Krishna is merciful. After knowing that everything belongs to Krishna, all the resources belong to Krishna, if we waste the resources of Krishna, why we shall not be punished? We must be punished and we should be ready for punishment. Even after getting all the knowledge and spiritual strength of chanting, reading, hearing, association of devotee and initiation from Guru, we are still wasting the resources. We must be punished. The laws of nature will work on everyone. Krishna is merciful, but he is not less intelligent. If by chance it happens, okay, Krishna will forgive. Someone does intentionally or again and again. The Prabhupada says, ignorance is not an excuse. So many times he says in lectures and books, ignorance is no excuse. If you have done wrong, whether you know it or don't know it, you still have to accept the result. So whether devotee or non-devotee, this first of all, we don't have any, sorry for this statement, we don't have any authority to say that we are devotees, because we are not. Someone who is a devotee will never say, I am a devotee. See the mood of Acharya Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They are saying we are fallen. And we fallen souls are saying that we are devotees. So who is a devotee? First we have to find out. And Prabhupada was walking, and then other side of the road, and one tap was open and the water is flowing, it's getting wasted. So Prabhupada told one of his disciples, go and close the tap. And the disciple said, Prabhupada, this is not our water. And Prabhupada said, this is Krishna's water. This is Krishna's energy. And we must save it. That's the vision of a devotee. So first we become devotee. Then we will see whether Krishna will punish or what natural laws will enact on us. Let us first become devotees. Till then we are not devotees. And so Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita 3rd chapter, devotee means pure devotees. So we are not that level of devotees. If we play around with Krishna, it's like playing around with fire. Will burn the hand. Like as a devotee, will you put your hand in the fire and not burn? No, the law of fire will work. You go outside and there's cold and you will not feel cold. You go outside and it's raining and you're drenched in water, you say, I'm not affected, water has not touched my body. No, all the laws are working. If there is pollution, you are inhaling, the pollution is going inside. Even devotees also get diseased. A cold is affected, fever is there, so many internal organs are failing. Devotees also get affected. Why? It's not that just we have got initiation and we chanted in a few rounds or a few years. So it will not help. It will affect. Only when someone has advanced level, he will be so, anyways he will be careful and Krishna will work through him. You see, Prabhupada used to, it was not that Prabhupada was a beggar, that's why he was saving the paper. Prabhupada was always like saving. Why? Prabhupada knew that it is Krishna's resource. We must utilize it in Krishna's service and not let it go waste.
Thank you, Prabhu.
I'm sorry. Please don't misunderstand. The answer is itself is philosophical, not my opinion. I may sound a little rude, but that is how it is.
No, Prabhu, thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dangal Pradama, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Gurudev. This karma thing, still I have, I know, despite all the conversations, I'm sorry.
Karma, you can never understand completely.
Yeah. So that's why.
And I cannot give all the answers. Karma, no one can understand.
Yeah. Just a question, like, you know, a scenario, like when I, for example, if I've done something wrong, there are three ways I feel that I can look at it. One way I can look at it is, you know, I deserved it. This is what, whatever.
No, wait. Your question was, you have done wrong or wrong has happened to you?
If I have done something wrong, and this is a scenario, and now how do I take that scenario? Like, something wrong and I get a result. So, seeing the result, I say, you know what, I deserved whatever effort I had put in, I deserved it. This is what I deserve. Second way of putting it is that, it could be that Krishna's mercy, that it could have even been worse, but at least he has diluted it, and this is what my result could be. And there could be another scenario, another way that I could look at it. Now I'm forgetting what is another way I was looking at it now. There were three things I thought. So, how to basically consider that situation, actually.
So, when you commit anything which is wrong, when you do wrong, then you should definitely feel guilty. You should repent it very sincerely. And you should sing the bhajans which Acharya has sing, where they have sing, we are like demons.
Okay.
But don't get into depression. It happens. Don't get into too far that, you know, how can I waste one grain of rice? I was given Mahaprasadam and somehow fell from my hand and it went, and then now I'll not eat any form of prasadam for next 1 year or 2 years. No, we are not that level. So don't go too far, but just at least repent and feel a little bit of guilt that, yes, how can I do this? And then we should be ready. Yes, my dear Lord, I have done wrong. That was because of my own, I was affected with lower modes, passion and ignorance. Please punish me. I am ready for punishment. But don't, it's a prayer. Don't, please don't take me away from the association of lotus feet of your devotees. Please don't take me away from the practice of devotional service. I'm ready for punishment. That's how a devotee should pray if he commits anything wrong. And then he should be ready. And Krishna will give lesser punishment depending on the sincerity. If you are just, if someone has done wrong and he's praying, Krishna will, okay, leave it. He's a small kid. Bachcha hai. Again you do, then Krishna will give little punishment. Again you do, then he'll keep increasing punishment. One day he'll leave Sudarshan Chakra and do something which will bring us to our senses. That's bahut ho gaya. Enough is enough. Now I'll never do this. So that's why Krishna. Now the thing is that, you know, what last question was asked similarly. So the devotees are also get punished. They get punishment, but they don't get punishment by Maya. Krishna is involved in their life. So Krishna comes into picture. It's not that Maya can take us for a ride. If we are sincere, then Krishna will enact and Krishna will take care. Krishna will say to Maya, okay, this devotee is doing wrong. No problem, I'll take care. But laws of material nature will work on it. But for devotees, Krishna comes into picture. He may be merciful. See, even mercy is also like someone is having some disease, then doctor comes and operates on the body.
Mm.
So doctor has to really, you know, open the body and then do whatever operation. It's a painful situation. But doctor is going to rectify. So Krishna will deal with us. We will feel the pain, because until unless we feel the pain, we will not come to the senses. So Krishna is giving us that, but with the compassion that I will rectify them. That is what Krishna will do.
Okay, so as I understand, you're saying that Krishna will intervene and kind of, in a way, purify us. So that actually we should consider that, okay, that this is also an act of His to kind of enlighten me on the right path, correct?
Yes. Chaitanya Charitamrita says that. Bhagavatam, Brahmaji's prayer, Tatte Nukampam, Susamikshamano. That a devotee, even after suffering and taking all the pains, what he does, he pays obeisances again and again to Krishna. My dear Lord, that kind of devotees, Mukti Padesa Daya Bhak, that kind of devotee has a right for liberation. So even in painful situation, we should thank Krishna, we should pray to Krishna, we should offer obeisances again and again to Krishna.
Thank you.
So then we will get purified.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
So I think we'll stop here. Yes, Mataji.
Prabhuji, I just wanted to say thank you to you. It was really nice.
Okay.
Yeah, we can end now, Prabhuji, if no one has any question or comments.
Yes, we can end here. I have to also leave.
Vaishnavas Vancha Kalpat Bhesya Krupa Sindhu
Vivacha
Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai.
Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Grantharashimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. His Vaishnavrinda Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Jai.